You are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily podcast on the Minnesota Timberwolves, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
This is Colt Molesky, and I am bringing you another installment of the Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Thank you so much for tuning in again to another show. Make sure to check out, when you're finished here, the Locked On NBA podcast. Everything you need in the way of daily NBA content, news, breaking down what will be games very soon, 6 days away from the Timberwolves season start. But I believe it's only 5 days away from the regular season start for everybody to kick off. So we are getting so close to the action, and it is very important to tune into not only this podcast, but the Locked On NBA podcast. Very few shows that give you daily content in the way of both regular hosts and NBA updates, NBA recent activity, all that good stuff on the Locked On NBA podcast. Make sure to check it out. Today, we have plenty to talk about. Jimmy Butler showing up to Timberwolves practice for the first time this summer / fall, and he is bringing some smoke. Came in hot to Timberwolves practice this gray, stormy Wednesday. Came in like the clouds, and he was firing at everybody. Tibbs, Wiggins, Towns, second stringers, third stringers, Glenn Taylor, everybody who was there. Hey, get in your foxhole, Minneapolis. He might be coming for you next. Jimmy Butler coming in, gunning heavily into Timberwolves practice. Oh my goodness. Regular season form on the NBA drama, and we haven't even hit games yet, people. If you can't get excited about the NBA drama factory yet, then you might not have a pulse, folks. My goodness, let's jump right into it. So, first of all, something that I think will get lost in all of this, but is probably the best thing to happen to the Timberwolves this week, and the most important thing to take away from this, 47 minutes ago, NBA.com, 47 minutes ago, had this story that the Miami Heat are still interested in restarting trade talks for Jimmy Butler. That's still a thing. They're still in the Jimmy Butler chase. They're still in the market for him. They want to bring him aboard this season. I think that's probably something that might get lost, but I think is very important. And remember, all this news is happening about an hour ago, and so this is coming up with all this news about Jimmy Butler, is that the Miami Heat are still on the table, still looking to restart these talks. I think that's a sign of life as far as what the Timberwolves can maybe do in the way of getting Jimmy Butler out of the building before the regular season starts, which has to happen now. He came in, he's telling the team they can't win without him. I'm paraphrasing there, but he's basically saying they can't win without him. He's yelling. He's abusing verbally Towns and Wiggins. And he's wrecking it. From all reports, he was wrecking people on the court, not just coming after them verbally, but he was wrecking people on the court. And he was going after everybody. Like I said, he was gunning with third stringers. He was showing everybody up. I laugh because this is really funny. I think it's a really baller alpha dog move. And you know what? I'm on Jimmy Butler's side. I am. Hot take. I'm taking Jimmy Butler's side. Here's why. Let me lay it out for you guys. I believe that he told the organization at the beginning of August, not before preseason, but wait a month before preseason, like the reports that we saw a week ago. I think a month before preseason, he came to them and said, I'd like a trade. And I think they've been bumbling, fumbling, stumbling along, just as they have been for most of this last season. This front office is a mess. The organization is a mess right now as far as how they're handling their business, how they conduct themselves, how Tibbs conducts himself, how they're handling any trade, how they're handling contracts. I think you can go all the way back to when they didn't make Wiggins prove it for a max contract. You can follow through who they're bringing on the team and at what times. And all the way through to this summer and offseason, how they're handling their young guys, how they're handling the offseason, free agency, going into how they're handling Jimmy Butler. This front office doesn't know what it's doing. And Jimmy Butler is finally getting frustrated. Because you know what? If I was a player, and believe me, I'm not saying that I'm anywhere close to as talented as a basketball, any of these basketball players. But I'm just saying, if I was in the situation where I wanted to go from one job to another, and I was under contract, and I knew that my employer was asking for ridiculous things back to get me moved, that would be upsetting, especially when I gave them so much time beforehand, and now they're making it seem like they're up against a clock. And then you hear reports that they're asking for Ben Simmons after the 76ers offered up a trade, and they turn it down and say, no, we want your best player. What? How is this? And then trade talks falling apart with the Miami Heat, who are really serious, clearly really serious, because they still want to get in on the Jimmy Butler sweepstakes before free agency starts for him next season. They still want to get in on the Jimmy Butler deal. And you're telling me that those trades are falling through still? You're asking for ridiculous returns on these trades, clearly. They're falling apart. We see them going to people with requests that just, you know, aren't going to get fulfilled. It'd be aggravating. If I was in Jimmy Butler's shoes, I'd be aggravated. So he came with a clear message that he doesn't, not only does he not want to be part of this team, he doesn't think very much of these guys. And he thinks that he's a whole lot better of it. And not only did he say stuff like that, but he went out and he proved it by smoking these people. And you know what? When you're hearing stuff about how these guys aren't getting together and working on stuff together and getting on the same page over the summer, and there's a clear gap, Jeff Teague admitted that there's a clear gap between teams that worked on stuff over the summer and teams that were not working on stuff over the summer, and then you want to get out of that situation, your franchise is fumbling the ball on the one-yard line to get you out of that situation after you requested a trade, and now they might make you come back and play with these guys that you already burned this bridge, but they're making you come back in for the regular season potentially because they can't figure out how to trade you, even though there are people seriously trying to get you on their roster and off of the Timberwolves roster. I think the Timberwolves deserve all the smoke that they got in practice today from Jimmy Butler, and I stand by Jimmy Butler doing that. He's an alpha dog, and they have been poking the bear for a while now. And now he came in, and he said, if you don't think I'm serious about this, if you're messing around with this stuff, let me throw you some smoke. Let me throw you how serious I am about this. I'm going to come, and I'm going to wreck you mentally and physically in this practice to show you how serious I am. I like the move. I'm behind it. Maybe it is a tad over-aggressive. That's a fine stance, I think, to go with. But to say that Jimmy Butler is unprofessional for this, the Timberwolves are unprofessional for this. Jimmy Butler is trying to get out of Dodge, and his team is messing up. So he's showing just how serious. You can't do the thing. You can't try and pull where, oh, Paul George will come back if you play a season. This is not one of those situations. Kawhi might stay in Toronto if he just stays long enough with this team and he's in Toronto for the season. Butler, that's not the situation. You can't get Butler to stay for this a portion of the regular season and talk him back to this. That is not going to work. And it kind of is starting to feel a little bit like maybe the Timberwolves were hoping if they could get him back into practices and get back into normalcy, they start doing that kind of thing. Or maybe Jimmy Butler feels like they were trying to drive in that direction, and he's putting his foot down and making sure that is not where this is going. That is not where this is ending up. So you know what? I'm behind Jimmy Butler. I'm behind Jimmy Butler on this one. And I think it was a must-do move. I support it. That's probably going to be the unpopular opinion. But you know what? The Timberwolves have had plenty of chances, and we already know how messed up this front office is. When push comes to shove, Jimmy Butler is not going to back down. And he showed that. And the Timberwolves, I think, are messing around and playing around, and Jimmy Butler is not. And I think it's fine that he went out and showed that today in practice. I think that is absolutely fine. And I support the move. Again, I realize this is not a popular opinion probably, but that's okay as well. I'm fine with that as well. So let's talk a little bit about the Timberwolves, the actual basketball going on. I know that's some NBA drama. For people who don't like the drama side of the NBA, I apologize. The large portion of this show was caught up in that, but you got to talk about it. You got to talk about it. That's Timberwolves news, and you have to talk about what's going on. So we're going to get to some actual basketball after a break for these sponsors. First, some sponsors. All right, we covered Jimmy Butler. Let's get to the actual basketball going on. That will be going down Friday. On Friday's show, I want to cover something a little different. So I want to talk about the preseason game now. And then we can go into – I have something different planned for Friday's show. But we'll cover the preseason game right now. It is against the Milwaukee Bucks. They'll be playing them again. Hopefully they're a little more – the Timberwolves are a little more on the same page, a little more prepared. A couple of things. I've talked about this before. Floor spacing. I think you want to see more floor spacing from the Timberwolves. And I think that there's a really good opportunity here when you're playing the Bucks to really exercise that spacing. Because this is a very long team, right? This roster top to bottom. I'm not just talking about stars like Chris Middleton. You got Giannis, Antetokounmpo. I'm not just talking about those guys. From top to bottom, most of this roster is pretty long. And so, and they play that kind of positionless style of basketball a little bit, where they're going to have a bunch of guys filling kind of the gray area between positions and have a bunch of guys switching around, or at least the best version of this team is a bunch of guys switching around. Obviously, there's some poor coaching. They didn't do nearly enough switching as they should, but that's a conversation for another time. A long team is what I'm trying to get to. A team that's going to really try and fill up the court, try and block a lot of passing lanes, and hopefully beat you in man-to-man because of that length. And then when they give you double teams, it's going to be hard to break out of them with that kind of umbrella over the top of you. When they're helping on screens, it's going to be tough to break off of screens because of that length. All that stuff. I think it's a really great opportunity for the Timberwolves to kind of go the other way. You've seen them kind of revert back to last season's basketball a little bit on these last three games. It's a really great chance to pivot and get out of that style to finish out the preseason. And to really, if you can space the floor well against the Bucks, you're going to be able to space the floor well against a lot of teams, because there's not a lot of teams that can match the Bucks in length. And so it's a great opportunity for the Timberwolves to really exercise how they're going to play the three-point line. Now, I've already talked about this summer how you don't want everybody to take threes in the name of spacing the floor. I think that was a big mistake from last year. And I'll be the first to admit it. I was hoping that guys like Wiggins would be able to find along the way a three-point shot if they just gave it enough of a chance and they just exercised it enough. I don't think that's – especially for guys like in Wiggins' case, I don't think that's a strong suit that he's just going to find along the way. Maybe he comes back for the regular season and he finds a 3-point stroke because he was working on it 24 hours a day over the summer, and all of a sudden it explodes as a 3-point shooter. But I don't think that's likely. And I think you want to put I hope that they're using a deeper roster with all these young guys. You got to put guys in better situations to succeed, and hopefully you can divvy up these minutes smarter and more efficiently, and then. When you're divvying up these minutes, you're putting guys in better situations to succeed. You're not just throwing out five guys and saying, all right, you got to do this and this and this, whether you're good at it or not, because these are the guys we're rolling with for 42 minutes. So a couple of things in this game, I think, that could really maximize that is how you're using screens. So I think a lot of the action, off-ball movement, if you're doing an off-ball screen or an on-ball screen, really, a lot of that stuff should be happening at the three-point line. This is a long Bucks team, and I think the way to maximize your offense is by having Towns just kind of patrol around the paint, and then all this movement coming from the top by the three-point line, then dashing towards the basket is going to either pull defenses off of Towns, or the defense is going to be so committed to stopping Towns in the paint that it's going to open up stuff off screens and off-ball screens for guys like Derrick Rose, for guys like Wiggins, four guys like Tyus Jones, like Okogie. It's going to open that stuff up in the paint for them to drive to the basket. Now, off of that, I think that once you hit a few of those and the defense of the Bucks tries to adjust, you're going to see stuff not only open up for Towns, you're going to see some three-point shots open up. And I think that's where guys like James Nunley, like Anthony Tolliver, like even give some guys, I know that he hasn't been shooting very well, but Keita Bates' job, give him some chances from the three-point line. Josh Okogie, try and find him a rhythm in the offense from deep. See, because this is the time, right? If you're in the preseason, this is the time to figure out, can we actually ask him to take a bunch of shots from three, or is this really not his strong suit? This is really not where we want to stretch him as a player. We want to find him growth on the defensive side, and we'll work on the offensive side progressively. But is this really where we can stretch him as an offensive player, or not quite yet? You got to figure that stuff out in preseason. So let's see Josh Okogie take six threes. Let's see Keita Bates-Jop take 6-7 threes and see, is this really a good spot for them, or is this not where we can maximize them in the offense? And then as far as guys like Anthony Tolliver, James Nunley, I think you can maximize them in the offense taking those threes. I think even guys like Derrick Rose in a conservative portion size, if you have Derrick Rose take three-point shots, I don't think that's a terrible thing either. And I think that's going to help him when he's dashing the basket, when he's moving off ball of basket or in isolation, when he's trying to move to the basket. Him taking some of those shots, I think you saw that against the Warriors a little bit. Him stepping back and taking a three every once in a while helps keep the defense honest and helps keep them kind of tethered to that three-point line a little bit, because you're not sure when that pop is going to come off from the three-point line, and so you're not just diving to the basket on these movements to the hoop. I think this, if you can do this stuff successfully against a really long team that's going to really try and clog up passing lanes like the Bucks, I think it's going to be a piece of cake against teams like the Hawks, the Magic, against teams like the Kings, just bad teams that you're supposed to beat, teams like the Phoenix Suns, who have a pretty porous defense, even teams like the Pacers. If you're able to maybe play some fast transition basketball, this team is going to want to slow down basketball. Just there's so many situations where this is so helpful, and it just makes your basketball team more versatile. It doesn't pivot on one guy really going off. You don't need Towns to score 50 points to win games. I think it helps a lot. And it starts with being – and I'm not saying that the whole offense has to be predicated off all these movements and all these little screens at the three-point line. But I think that's the start of how you open stuff up for this offense. And then you do later in the game. Once you've done that, you do feed it to Towns, and he does take people on in isolation basketball one-on-one. And you do keep guys moving around that, because you don't want guys to pull over and help a defender on Towns. But I think all that starts by really being aggressive on the three-point line with your plays and with how you're constructing your offense to open stuff up off movement around the three-point line. And you don't want to bring that in, because if you're running screens off the free throw line, off that bubble, off the elbow, you're bringing stuff down into Towns, and that's just going to make things messy. If you've got ball handlers that are trying to bring the offense down, they're trying to run isolation and bring it down into where Towns is at consistently in the paint, that's just going to muddy the waters there. And Towns is such a great player. Why do that? Take advantage of how good he is. Really open stuff up for him. And all that's possible by simple stuff like that. So that's where I'm looking for the Timberwolves. It'd be really awesome if they shot 28 threes this game. 28 33s, that would be awesome. That would be so awesome to end the preseason game like that, and to be creative, to see a bunch of guys doing that kind of stuff too. I don't want to see Anthony Tolliver take 15 threes. I'd be fine if he took 9 or 10. I want to see him take 15, 17. I want to see a bunch of guys chip in. I want to see James Nunley take 6, 7. I want to see Josh Okogie try for at least 5. Keita Bates-Jop, give him at least 5 threes. Let's get Derrick Rose, get him like 3. Get Jeff Teague, 4 or 5. Let's see a bunch of guys really attack this three-point line and see what that opens up for the offense. And I think this stuff is really going to help out Wiggins too, because you're not asking him to step out of his comfort zone and take a bunch of threes. You're asking him to move to the basket. You're asking him to attack the rim. And I think that's where he can really be successful. And I think if you've got a bunch of other guys contributing in different ways, I think that helps out Wiggins. I think that helps out Towns. I think that opens up this offense really nicely. So if you can see some of that in this game against the Bucks, in a game where they're going to be really long from top to bottom, no matter how the minute distribution is going, whether they play Giannis at all or not, you're going to see a lot of long athletes out there. And so I think that it would be beneficial to see the Timberwolves do a couple of these things. Again, simple stuff that they can go back to. And not having one guy drain the shot clock down to 22 and then trying to bull rush the basket where there's already two guys down in the paint waiting for passes. Stuff like that really clogs up the offense. And if you can stay away from stuff, those kind of things, you're already winning. You're already winning in the preseason. So hopefully that's what you can see from the Timberwolves. And again, that game is going down this Friday. They're playing the Bucks. So make sure to check out all of that. Look for that kind of stuff when you're watching the preseason game against the Bucks. All right, thanks, guys, for tuning in to another Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
You are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily Minnesota Timberwolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.